Welcome to Five Star Radio. Consider this your warning.
Hey there, Catskins. I'm Mike Hoffman. This is Five Star Radio in studio here at HalfGuarded.com, and we have just literally moments ago finished up the UFC Fight Night 77, UFC Brazil, UFC Sao Paulo, UFC SP. I don't know. I've seen it called a whole bunch of stuff. The fights with Dan Henderson and Vitor Belfort and all the other dudes that happened down there in, Brazil. We're going to go through it, recap it, tell you what happened, because people like audio. They like to listen to things. They like to watch things more. But that's just too much for you guys. I don't think you could handle that. In the main event, as I think I predicted, Vitor Belfort knocked out Dan Henderson. They did nothing for 2 minutes. Literally through 2 minutes, I think there was a total of about four or five light little inside leg kicks thrown by Henderson. And then Belfort threw one high kick, and that was it. Dan was out on his feet. Belfort swarmed as he does, threw him around, hit him with punches, grounded and pounded him a bunch. Mario Yamasaki jumped in and stopped it. I actually thought when he stopped it, I'm like, huh. Like, yeah, there's definitely one punch where Dan's just out. And I think that when he sees it on replay, he would agree because he knows me very well and he respects my opinion. It's just a lie. It's sad. It could have happened to Dan Henderson 10 years ago or 20 years ago, and he could have been fighting 20 years ago. I think he may have almost been fighting 20 years ago. Dan Henderson's 45. They were calling him the greatest American mixed martial artist. And I don't think he is. I think that just off the top of my head, Randy Couture and BJ Penn. I mean, BJ Penn may be one of the greatest ever. Forget about country. But I'm sure there's some other guys that, Matt Hughes or somebody. I mean, Dan Henderson's had a hell of a career. And every time he loses a fight, we just have to do the thing where we pretend like it's a funeral and give a eulogy. He'll probably fight in 5 months. Good win for Belfort, desperately needed after all the TRT controversy. He showed that he can still go out there. And, I mean, this looked exactly like all three of his big wins, Brazil, back in 2013 when he made the run towards the title the first time. And he just knocked people out left and right with high kicks. Maybe Vitor's just better in Brazil. Maybe he's found something new to take. Maybe he's just adjusted to not being on stuff. Or maybe, and I know this is hard for people to believe sometimes, but maybe his poor performance against Chris Weidman is simply because Chris Weidman is really, really good. I think sometimes we lose sight of the fact that the man is an undefeated world champion who defeated the greatest fighter of all time when said fighter was probably on something. And there's no shame in losing to someone like Chris Weidman. And there's no shame in losing to Glover Teixeira. If there was, then Patrick Cummins would be filled with shame, but I don't think he is. I don't know, maybe he is. Teixeira finished Patrick Cummins in the second round with a very nice series of punches. It was a weird first round. Cummins would get a takedown really, really, really easily, almost too easy. Like, you don't see guys at this high a level get takedowns with that much ease unless they're super duper wrestlers, and Cummins isn't. And unless they have terrible, terrible sprawl, and Teixeira doesn't. His isn't bad. It was almost like Teixeira was baiting him, because Teixeira would then just get up. No problem. Stood up like it was nothing, and they went back to fighting. And Teixeira was landing his traditional right-hand, left-hook combination. We've talked about this for years. I like to think that Brian Stan just listened to our show and figured it out for himself, because he was talking about it a lot. I'm like, no, stop! I used to be the only person that noticed details. Now, I'm not a special, you son of a bitch. Son of a bitch. And that's what it was. He just, in the second round, actually really at the end of the first round, Teixeira caught Cummins pretty good with some shots. And Cummins was probably saved by the bell. And the second round, Teixeira just came right out, got right in Cummins' face, stuffed some takedowns, landed numerous punches, and Cummins was out. He was out on his feet. The referee jumped in and mercifully stopped it. He was just taking unanswered hooks from the left hand and the right hand, and a very, 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 very impressive win for Glover Teixeira, coming off the victory over Ovince St. Preux. You know, it's a guy that, I'll be honest, I thought he was done as a potential challenger, but he's working his way in there. I mean, he's obviously got a ways to go. We have at least two title fights set up already with Cormier and Jones, and then the winner of that versus the winner of Bader and Anthony Johnson. Did Anthony Johnson fight Glover Teixeira? If not, holy shit. Like, just, yeah. So, yeah, I don't know where they go next for Teixeira. He's going to fight a guy. He's going to fight, you know, maybe Michael Bisping or someone like that. That would actually be a pretty good fight. Random, but both guys need a signature win. And I think that if you were to have those guys fight one another in the early part of next year, you know, maybe March-ish, that the winner of that would be, you know, right there in case something happened to the winner of Bader and Johnson. Or, you know, the contender waiting thereafter from that. I don't know. So, again, an impressive performance by Glover Teixeira. No doubt, no doubt. And equally as impressive, in some respects, Tomaso Almeida took on Anthony Burchak. Almeida came into the fight, I think, like 19-0 or some shit like that. Just some absurd record. We talked about this in the preview about how the fact that he's got this kind of record at 135 is even more impressive. Maybe we're talking about Bellator guys. I think I was, actually. And he came out there against Burchak. For a little bit, Burchak was doing okay. He was more fluid with his strikes. He was chaining his combinations to the better. Almeida seemed to be looking for one big punch. It's not necessarily that he's looking for one big punch, but it's a very traditional Muay Thai style of keep your hands up high near your chin and just throw everything you've got behind every punch or kick. And if something works, just keep going back to it until it doesn't work. So it can look like a pot shotting style, and it is because it's not fluid in the way the Dutch have embraced kickboxing. I personally think the Dutch style is just overall better. I think the greater reliance on the hands is important, as well as just incorporating all the techniques into more fluid combinations. But tonight, it was Almeida's night because he landed and he hurt Burchak bad. He just overwhelmed him with punches. He was out on his feet at one point, and then one more big punch and he's out on the ground. And Almeida did it. I think it's now was like they were saying something like 14 out of his last 15 wins have been by first round knockout or knockout in general or some shit like that. You know, he had a lot of hype coming into the fight and coming off the Brad Pickett victory. And he basically did what you need to do if you're a top-level prospect. He went out there, he felt out his opponent for a few minutes, and then knocked him out in the first round. You can argue, oh, maybe Burchak shouldn't have gotten as much offense in as he did. But truthfully, I think a lot of that was Almeida timing him. And when he got the timing down, that was it. Alex Oliveira, the cowboy, took on Piotr Hallman. The first round was amazingly dominant. Oliveira was just brilliant. His striking was outstanding. He was rocking him back and forth like a boat in the wild ocean. I don't really know what the fuck that means, but just go with it, okay? Round two, a little bit more back and forth. Hallman got himself back into the match. And then in round three, Oliveira landed a punch that was so big that Hallman went stiff. The dead leg, just stiff as shit. He is dead. His children are dead. His mother and father are dead. They actually might be, but everybody he's ever known is dead as a result of this knockout. Just brutal. And it was we used to say three fights in a row with just awesome finishes. Really made the night. Because before that you had Gilbert Burns versus Rashid Magomedov. Magomedov beat him by decision. It was okay. Burns looked better early on, but then just seemed to kind of slow down. And Magomedov just kind of ground on him. And not even like you're wrestling grinding, but just that relentless pressure, and I'm not going to stop grinding. What was wrestling grinding was Corey Anderson over Fabio Maldonado. Anderson, it kind of talked like, maybe I'll come out and swing with him, maybe I won't, should I, shouldn't I, don't know. And I think eventually somebody talked to him and said, use your brain and don't do that, because that's Maldonado's game. And so Anderson instead, who's still relatively young in his career, came out and just got basically one takedown after another after another. He didn't do a ton of damage with any of it. It was what it was. It was a younger guy avoiding the strengths of a veteran. When they were in the clinch and boxing, Maldonado did his thing, but guys know what his game is. Credit to Anderson for not falling into it. It could have been very easy to fall into the trap of, you know, this guy wants to throw and his hands are down. I think a lot of guys get fooled by that. But he didn't, and he just kept going with his wrestling, and he won a workmanlike, which is good for boring, decision. We also had the main event of the prelim card, which is on the same channel, just 5 minutes earlier. Gleison Tibau defeated Abel Trujillo. This will definitely be the most controversial win of the night. It was wrong. Tibau came out and easily got a takedown. He was dominating in every way, shape, and form, punching him and pounding him and mounting him. Trujillo didn't have anything to do. He gave up his back. And then at this point, Tibau went for a rear naked choke. He did not have it in. It was very close. And I think even if you don't practice jiu-jitsu, you could see where it's not in. But there was definitely air available to Abel Trujillo. Because it was not choking with across a windpipe. It wouldn't have been able to. Too much space on the left side of his neck. And that also meant there's too much side on the left side of his neck for it to be a blood choke. The referee jumped in and stopped it. There was no tap. I think he thought... obviously, he had to have thought that Trujillo was out. He was not out. The rear naked choke, again, it looked close, and maybe, I don't think it would have been the finish. Yes, it's possible that Tibau would have adjusted himself a little bit, you know, shook his cup up, got it in the right place, and got the submission, but he didn't. And it more looked like the kind of position where a guy falls off and he ends up on bottom. And at that point, you could have seen an explosive and angry and dominant Trujillo on top throwing some heavy leather. So I really think that Abel Trujillo got screwed on this fight. Again, Tibau looked dominant. It was his 27th fight in the UFC, which now I believe is the record. It's definitely the lightweight record. It's like 17-10. He's been there for a decade. He's been around forever, and he's still only 32 years old. Fuck you. Oh my gosh, I hate you for being my age and having 50 plus pro fights. I have two dogs, and they wonder what the hell is going on right now, because they're dogs. Jan Cabral was defeated by Johnny Case. The fight kind of sucked. Early in the first round, Cabral got Case down and did some beautiful, beautiful jiu-jitsu. It was not just, it wasn't your flashy jiu-jitsu. It was bread and butter. This is how you should do it, kids. He was very deliberate, He took his time. He controlled every step of every technique. It enabled him to get very, very close on a Kimura. Credit to Case, he timed the moment when Cabral would have to, you basically have to yank a Kimura out. Guys dig it deep and they hold it near their waist. In order to finish it, you have to yank it up and down to get the submission. And the moment that Cabral did that, Case, again, to his credit, immediately sprawled and turned into it and got out. And then from there, it was basically, two rounds of Case doing kickboxing. He was a better kickboxer, a better striker. He did hurt Cabral with one big punch. But other than that, he was just kind of there. The sad event of the evening was the 40-some-odd seconds or whatever it took for Thiago Tavares to beat Clay Guida. Guida was being Guida early. He was throwing wild punches. They were kind of weird. He was jumping and hopping around. He shot in for a takedown, and Tavares just grabbed an arm and guillotine, and he sunk it in deep, and it was done. Guida tapped. They were talking about Guida needing to, train his submission defense better and blah, blah, blah. It's like, he's at Team Alpha Male now because he's Clay Guida. He goes everywhere. That is a camp that, if you train there for more than, a month, you really shouldn't be getting caught in guillotines. If there's one technique in the world that they will teach you better than anything, it is the guillotine. But you know what? Shit happens. Sometimes you just got to give respect to Thiago Tavares for being that damn good. And it was early on, and he went for it. And he recognized the positioning and just said, screw it, I'm going to go for it. Chaz Skelly took on Kevin Souza. Chaz wanted it on the ground. Souza wanted it on the feet. On the feet, Souza was just outstanding. Way, 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 way better than Chaz. Just to a disgusting degree. But on the ground, Chaz would just get takedowns and just grind away and, he would roll for things, and he would roll. At one point, he actually got taken down off a screw-up, and Chaz was on the bottom of side control, and he actually went for an armbar, and there's a technique where you slide your near knee into their midsection and isolate their far arm, and you can actually grab that arm for an armbar. When that didn't work, he kept rolling into a knee bar, and he used that to keep rolling, and eventually they stood up. He got behind him, though, dove to take the back, and got the tap with a rear naked choke. A very good back-and-forth fight. 7 out of 10, would recommend. I don't know. Viscardi Andrade took on Gassan Umalatov. I hope they both die, and I hope that they never procreate. This fight was terrible. Andrade gets a pass because it's been 2 years since he fought. He's been injured. I guess in practice, he went down wrong, and he broke his tibia and his fibia. It wasn't the knees. It was your fucking leg bones. That's awful. Oh, shit. Ew, yikes. Gassan Umalatov had no excuse other than he just sucked. Third round was okay. Uma dropped Andrade with about 15 seconds to go, but it wasn't enough. And Andrade, I should say. I kept saying Andrade in my head when I was typing it to type it correctly as Andrade is the pronunciation. But yeah, it was, terrible. Pedro Munhoz took on Jimmy Rivera, and this was a really, really good, bantamweight type, fight. Title fight, not just fight. Rivera would stand in the pocket and land tons and tons of shots off combinations. He was just quicker and stronger in every way early on. Pedro had all this big reputation and all this stuff, and it seemed like Pedro was just being patient. Maybe he wasn't expecting what happened. I don't totally know. I just know that Rivera was simply more active. Whereas Pedro would throw an isolated kick or a punch here and there, and they would land occasionally. They weren't unsuccessful. Rivera was throwing lots of combinations and different combinations, and he was particularly effective with his uppercut. I thought that the uppercut was his best punch of the night, even though it was probably a left hook. And his left hook was outstanding as well. His left hook closed the eyes of Pedro. But again, back and forth, really fun fight. I enjoyed it a lot. I think that most people watching it would have enjoyed it. Pedro was a guy that had a ton of hype coming in. There was just like an absurd amount of hype. And he got his ass beat. Like, he got beat because he just got outworked. Maybe if these two fought again, if Pedro's in a different state of mind, things go differently. But I can't read the future like that. Because that's not even a future. That's just making shit up. And we wouldn't want to make anything up here at halfguarded.com. So yeah. That was it. We had the best name ever, Bruno Correa, but it's spelled Korea. I hope it is spelled like Korea, because I was making a whole bunch of Korean jokes. Bruno Correa took on Matheus Nicolai, and Nicolai was just better. He was better at fighting. Correa had reach, but he wouldn't use it. And he would allow Nicolau to get combinations off, particularly with the boxing. And then on the ground, Nicolau was superior. There was one exchange where Correa basically dropped Nicolau with kind of almost a pushing kick. And immediately there was a response from Nicolau of an armbar that was damn near close to snapping the arm of the other Brazilian in two. But it didn't. It didn't. Instead, it failed. midway through the third round, Correa jumped early for some fancy shit and got floored by a punch, just dead. Nicolai took the mount, they scrambled, he's on top for a bit, eventually moved it for a guillotine while on top in side control, simultaneously hyperextending the knee to kind of lose some of the base, and he was able to actually get the head on the back of Correa's head on his chest, which is really where he created essentially a vice. While it looked like a guillotine, the technique probably felt more like a triangle or even a smother, and I'm sure that the knee bar attempt wasn't pleasant either. But again, another fun fight. I did enjoy it. I can't lie. I'm like Abraham Lincoln. I cannot tell a lie. That was George Washington, but whatever. And that's UFC Brazil. I liked it. You know, we don't have to do big long shows, because guess what? This is a Sunday. I already have something ready for Monday and for Tuesday. We're going to be doing so much fucking shit next week. It's going to be content city here at halfguarded.com. I can't tell you how proud I am of what we're going to be producing. It's going to be the best we've ever done. I don't know. We just had our second best week ever. And the week before that was our best week ever. And the site just keeps chugging along, man. I don't know. I don't know how it works. Just, you know, magic tubes and wires and shit like that. That's what the internet is. But until I figure it out, I'll just have to remain Mike Coughlin, your humblest of hosts for 5-Star Radio, the single most intricate part of, or integral, or intricate part of halfguarded.com. That's not true. We are like fifth on the depth chart, but still important. Saying to one and all, good fights. Oh yeah. Good night. Et au revoir, mes amis.
Star man before the internet. I'm damn sure a 5-star man now, okay? I just gotta drop the dead weight so I can shine.